Amen.
Amen.
Good to see you tonight. Are you glad to be in the Lord's house? Say amen.
Amen.
If you enjoyed this Callaway Choir, say amen.
Amen.
If you glad Mark Eichelberger's here, say amen.
Amen.
If you glad Bobby Robinson's here, say amen.
Amen.
If you'll say amen for anything I ask, say amen.
Amen.
Just thought I'd throw that out. Good to be with you tonight. While you're turning to the book of Psalms, the 18th chapter, the 33rd verse, let me say that it's good for me to have my darling wife with me. She's sitting right back there by Mike Reeves. Don't get used to that, brother. Amen. Mike, stand up and let folks know who you are. Oh, you are standing up. That's Mike Reeves from Tiva Road. And we got Brother Paul. Where's Paul? There he is, Brother Paul. Stand up and let them know who you are. Oh, it's Southwest. Any of our other preachers here that I haven't seen, that I've missed? Oh, Bobby Robinson. Yeah, but y'all done recognized him. But anyway. All right. Psalms 18:33, if you don't mind standing one more time. In honor and respect to the reading of God's word. The psalmist very simply says in Psalms 18:33, "He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me upon my high places." Tonight I want to bring a sermon to you that I have entitled, "The Precarious Crags of Life." Now that's got your attention, hasn't it? Because Sunday morning I preached on what? The price tags of life. Last night I preached on the penalty flags of life. Now tonight, the precarious crags of life. You'd be thinking what a crag is. Because I know somebody's like, what is that? I'll tell you in a minute. Pray with me. Father, I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. I pray, God, that you would just continue to shower your blessings upon us, Lord, through this preaching hour. Thank you, God, for the singing that we've heard and been blessed by. But God, we need to hear a word from you, Lord, through the preaching. And God, I pray, Lord, that you would just take me tonight, anoint me afresh and anew, Lord, to do what you've called me to do, Lord, to preach this blessed gospel. And Lord, anoint us as listeners that we might hear and that we might act upon what we hear tonight, God. I pray, Father, that you'd stir our hearts and lives. I pray, God, for revival for this church. And Lord, I pray that if there be lost souls here tonight, that this would be the night you'd touch their heart and life. Perhaps those who've grown cold and indifferent, those who have questions, Lord, I pray, God, you'd just meet every need tonight. Now use me, I pray, Father, in your name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Lord must have thought that there was an important spiritual truth to be learned from this phrase that I have read to you tonight, seeing as he put it in three different places in the Bible. Psalms 18:33, 2 Samuel 22:34, and Habakkuk 3:19. Now, as I start this sermon tonight, I'm going to help some of you, because I had to look this up in the dictionary, too. But I want to begin by telling you what Webster's definition is of the word I've used tonight, of a crag. A crag, according to Webster, C-R-A-G, is a rough, steep, or broken rock rising or jutting out prominently. Now, if you will just simply picture in your mind a steep, narrow mountain pass, then you will have the mental image that I'm trying to convey to you tonight by using that word. Now, in the days of the Old West, when cowboys would have to cross those steep mountain passes, they would use mules or horses that tracked when they walked. Now the term tracking, when applied to a mule or a horse, doesn't mean that they act like a bloodhound. Now you're glad to know that tonight, aren't you? Amen. Now tracking simply means that when they walk, their back foot steps into the print left by their front hoof. That's what tracking is. Wherever the front hoof steps, The back hoof automatically follows it and steps in the same track. Now, because of their ability to track, they were much less prone to fall off when they were traversing those narrow mountain passages. And from that comes the word or the term, a sure-footed animal. A sure-footed horse or a sure-footed mule or a sure-footed burro or donkey or whatever you want to say is simply one that tracks. Now, y'all have learned something tonight, haven't you? How many of y'all already knew that? Raise your hand. One, two, three people in the whole thing. How many of you learned it tonight? All right. See, you can go home now, blessed. Amen. But you better not. Amen. Now, because of their ability to track, they wouldn't fall. And their ability to track is the talent that gave them safe passage through these dangerous conditions. Now, while following Jesus Christ, I have discovered that often my life path has gone through some rough, steep, and broken places that are jutting out prominently. Amen? The only hope, though, when you go through those places, the only hope for your survival is to learn to track in God's footsteps. Amen? And that's what the psalmist is saying. The only hope for revival for this church and any other church is to learn to track in the footsteps of God. To paraphrase what the psalmist said in the text scripture, there is no limit to the heights that I can safely reach in life as long as my feet are tracking God. Somebody say amen. As long as I continue to put my feet in his footsteps, then there's no limit to how high I can go in service for the Lord. That's what the psalmist is saying. He said he would make my feet as hinds' feet. He would make me as the ability of the horse that tracks. That's what God said he would do. God said, I'll make your footsteps line up with my footsteps. Now, as I prepared for this sermon, I called a friend who's a horse expert and asked her about horses that track. I called Mike Reeves, but he didn't know. I'll just leave it at that. Amen. She told me some interesting facts. Not all horses track. Simply being a horse, being born a horse, doesn't necessarily give you the ability to track. Some horses, she said, are born with the ability to track. Some of them are, but not all of them. And she said others have to be taught. They can be taught how to track. But then she said, third, some cannot be taught. Some absolutely cannot be taught how to track. She also told me that when a horse runs, it cannot track. Because when it's running, the hind hooves are coming in front of the front hooves for power, and therefore they cannot track. Now, speed, though, is not the issue for a sure-footed horse. Tracking is the issue. She also told me that thoroughbred quarter horses track better than other breeds. And she also told me that not all four-legged animals track. For instance, the dog, when he runs through a turn, his back feet go to the outside while his front feet go to the inside. He doesn't track. Now you say, Brother Aaron, why are you giving us a lesson in horses? Glad you asked that question. Because there's some lessons in what I've just said to you. See if you'll agree with these tonight. Not all Christians track. Amen. Simply being a Christian doesn't guarantee the ability to track. Matthew 7:21 says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth, or he that tracks, the will of the Father which is in heaven. I would submit to you tonight that some Christians, when born again, are born with the ability to track. Others have to be taught how to track, but some cannot be taught how to track. Amen. Why? Because they don't have a teachable spirit. In the book of 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, the 7th verse, it said they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen. When a Christian runs, help me a little bit. When a Christian gets in a hurry and begins to run, he cannot track God because his rear hooves are coming past where God's stepping. Somebody say amen. Well, hallelujah. Speed is not the issue for a sure-footed Christian. Speed is not the issue. Tracking is the issue. Ecclesiastes 9:11 says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet the rich, yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. Speed is not what it's about. Sure-footedness is what it's about. It's about following God. Amen. Paul said, he didn't say, I won the race, but he said, I finished my course. Amen. We may not be the first to cross the finish line, but bless God, what we're going to be judged by is how sure-footed we were in the race that God had set for us to run. Man, I hope y'all are getting this tonight, and I'm trying to stay close to this because I got a long way to go and a short time to get there. But my Lord, folks, hear me. It's time God's people learn how to track. Amen. I believe if we learn how to track, brother, you couldn't stop revival. If we learn how to track, you'd have to tear this building down and build bigger buildings. If we learn how to track, bless God, we could shut the divorce courts down. If we learn how to track, we could put some psychologists and psychiatrists out of business. If we learn how to track, families would stay together. Somebody help me a little bit here tonight. We need to learn how to track with God. Now that's good preaching, but I got to move on. Tracking is critically important. Now listen, she told me that thoroughbred horses track better than other breeds. Thoroughbred Christians track better than the other breed of Christians. Y'all worried about that, aren't you? What's a thoroughbred Christian? That's one of them that got saved all over worse than anywhere else. That just loves to show up for Sunday school at 11 o'clock, comes back for the choir practice, makes all the meetings, they attend the WMU, the Brotherhood, they witness, they tithe. That's them thoroughbreds. Oh, we don't even want to go into them other breeds. Amen. You know who they are. How many of you are thinking about somebody right now? But not all kind of Christians track. Some, as a dog, when they hit a curve, their back feet go to the outside while their front feet go to the inside. Somebody say amen right there. Moving on. Tracking is critically important. Matthew 7:13 says, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The way that leads to destruction is a wide path. Lives that do not track for Jesus are quite comfortable on this wide path, because it doesn't matter if their rear end's over here and the front end's over there. It doesn't matter if they're running backward, because they got plenty of room on the wide path. But let me tell you something tonight, my people, we're not in the wide path as Christians. We're in the narrow path. Woo, hallelujah. And we've got to learn how to track. We got to get our rear end behind us and our front end ahead of us. We gotta quit going sideways. You ever seen a car that's been in a wreck, and when somebody fixed it, they didn't pull the frame back out, and it goes down the road like this? Won't track. Oh, I can't stop. Listen, the way that leads to life is a narrow way, and it's filled with precarious crags that have to be negotiated. And the only way that we can travel safely on life's highway is learning to track Jesus. We're on a Christian pilgrimage, and we've got to learn to safely traverse these precarious crags. Troubles and trials will come. I said troubles and trials will come.
Amen.
It's not a question of if. It's only a question of when and what we're going to do when they come. We better learn how to track. God teach us to track. The precarious crags can be safely traversed only by a life that's tracking Jesus. God give us hinds feet tracking safely through. Now tonight I want to give you five indications of a life that is tracking properly for Jesus. First thing I want you to see when a life is tracking properly. Number one, the peace of God aligns the problems of life. Whew! The peace of God will pull into alignment all the problems of life. John 16:33 says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace." Now this is Jesus Christ talking. He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." It wasn't a think you'll have problems or maybe you'll have problems. It was a declarative statement that Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble, trial, problems. They're going to come. But aren't you glad he didn't leave it with that? But he said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The peace of God always puts our problems in the proper alignment or proper perspective. Y'all help me just a little bit. I said the peace of God always puts our problems into proper alignment or perspective. Isaiah 26:3 is still in the book. Thou will keep him, oh Lord, I'm about to run. Thou will keep him in perfect peace who attends Unity Baptist Church. No. Let me get that other translation. Thou will keep him in perfect peace who attends Callaway Baptist Church. No, that ain't right. Let's see. Thou will keep him in perfect peace who is a Baptist. No. Well, how about this? Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Woo! That's where our peace comes from tonight. That's where our tracking comes from. When we get our mind and our affections off of the troubles and trials of this world, and the Lord God Almighty becomes more precious than the problems. Woo! Glory. Now you're going to see why I preach and do not sing. I'm about to give you an example of it. But I tell you tonight, listen to what I'm about to tell you. If you miss the rest of the sermon, don't miss this. Joy, J-O-Y, joy in this life is not the absence of problems. Joy is the presence of Jesus Christ in your problems. Well, glory. Somebody said, well, if this would just go away, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. If I just had $1 million, I'd be happy. I'm going to tell you what, if you ain't happy with 20 cents in your pocket, you won't be happy with 20 million. Because you see, money don't buy you happiness. Amen. Well, somebody said, well, if I just didn't have this sickness, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. You might feel a little better. You might get along a little better. But happy ain't related to a sickness. Somebody help me. Happy is related to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you get, woo, Lord, when we get to tracking, it don't matter what comes our way. When we got our eyes on Jesus, let it come. Let it come. For joy is found in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Woo! You say, you don't know what you're talking about, Brother Aaron. I reckon I do. I got so many pills I take every day, I rattle when I walk. Amen. But let me tell you something. My joy ain't in the pill bottle. It ain't in the rattle. But it's in the Lord God Almighty and a personal relationship I have with Him. Woo! Because you see, I know the end of this thing. I'm going to lay down somewhere. Either I'm going to go out in the sky. Hole in the sky or hole in the ground. It don't matter. I got a ticket. I got a reservation. And I'm a-going. Woo! Let me tell you something. Now you're going to see why I preach. There's a little song that shows like something like this. Me, 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 me. I said... I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. I've been a lot of places and I've seen a lot of faces. But there have been times I've felt so all alone. But in those lonely hours, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know I was His own. Amen. Now listen to this third verse. So I thank Him for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys, and I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. Don't miss this part. Because if I never had a problem, then I wouldn't know that He could solve them, and I wouldn't know what faith in God could do. Sing with me. Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Sing with me. Through cancer, through heartaches, through troubles. I got it messed up, but that's good, wasn't it? I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. We got to learn how to track, folks. And when you track, it'll pull your problems in line. The psalmist said it this way, and Kevin, get your crew ready. In the 23rd Psalm, he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." Now listen to this next little part. My little buddy right there showed this to me the other day, Mike Reeves. "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." Remember that verse. "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I want you to notice what the Bible said. Now, sometimes it's just as important to hear what it doesn't say as it is to hear what it said. It did not say that the enemies would not come. He did not say that the enemies would not encircle you. He did not say that the lonely nights and the sleepless nights and the tearful nights, he never said they wouldn't come. But you know what he said? Let them come, because I'm going to prepare a table before you in their presence. I want you to get this. I want you to see this visual. I had a preacher run revival last week, and he told his deacons, he said, man, watching him preach is like watching a movie. Amen. I like to use visuals. Come in, Mark Eichelberger. You didn't know that you was in this. I want you to sit right here, Mark Eichelberger. Now I want y'all to introduce y'all to some folks. Ain't this a rough looking bunch? Every one of these guys up here hate me. They can't stand me. I want y'all to look at death back here. Here's old death. I want you to look at depression right here. I want you to look at illness back here. I want you to look at a bad attitude right here. And I want you to look at any other thing you want to name it right here. Right here. Now I want y'all to huddle up like that, like you're in a football huddle. With just a semicircle though. Now, it's facing me and Mark. And I want y'all to talk ugly about me. I want y'all to see they plotting against me. They don't like me. They don't like anything about me because I named the name of Jesus. Death, do you like me? Now, what about it? Sickness, do you love me? What about it? Depression, a bad attitude, you like me? I didn't think you did. I don't like y'all either. Go on this plot against me. I don't care, because I want you to see something. Woo, I'm about to have a fit here, brother. Now I won't stand up, Mark. Now I want to introduce y'all to Jesus Christ. Woo! Amen. This is my man right here. I'm on his side. We buds, we tight, we walking together. And that bunch of raggly, scraggly old hooligans back there plotting against me, all my troubles and trials. But let me show you what me and the Lord do. Jesus just pulls up and said, here. Let's just fellowship together. You know what? You used to fellowship around the table, didn't you? I ain't told y'all to quit talking. Keep talking, amen. They plotting against me. They don't like me. But you know what? They can say all they want to, because me and the Lord, we're talking about the things of eternity. We're talking about peace and joy and happiness that comes only in this life. And you know what? He might even tell me while that bunch of yahoos is talking. Oh, he might say, in this world, they're going to come. But don't you worry about them, because I done overcome them. Go up and hit one of them. It don't matter. Watch this. This is what your Lord can do. This is what Jesus can do. He can take care of business. Woo! Hallelujah! Glory, take care of them, son. Get rid of them. Throw them out. Glory. Woo. Let me tell you something. What he does for me, he'll do for you. He is the Lord God Almighty. There is none other name under heaven whereby men must be saved but the precious holy name of Jesus. Woo. Glory. Glory. Jesus done cleaned house up here and didn't even give them a doggy biscuit to take home. Woo! Man, I don't know about y'all, but I done got tore up. I done about preached myself happy to know that Jesus is in control. And he prepares right in the presence of my enemies. Let some drool over it. Some spiritual filet mignon. Woo! My. Some spiritual good stuff. And they setting up here, all they can do is be negative and try to hurt. But Jesus said, don't you worry about them. I got it under control. Whew. If I was 25, Bobby Robinson, I'd preach this sermon like it needs to be preached. Listen, folks. Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. When you're tracking, Listen, folks, revival starts with who? With me. And it starts when I learn to commune with God in spite of my problems. Now, let me tell you something. I'm about to get to point two. But I want you to hear this tonight. There's nobody in this building that can play poor, pitiful me any better than I can. I don't care how good you are. I got you beat. I can get on my pity pot. Somebody help me a little bit. And I can say, oh God, this only happens to me. And I guarantee you, I said it today at lunch, things happen to me that don't happen to other people. Crazy stuff. But you know what? I can be pitiful if I want to. Oh God, it's so bad. And most Baptists do that. They celebrate their ailments. Amen. Somebody help me. I do it. You go telling me what's wrong with you, and I can't hardly wait for you to shut up so I can tell you how bad I feel. Somebody help me. I'm telling the truth, and I know I am. I get to tracking the wrong thing. Well, I've got to move on. Amen. Not when we're tracking for Jesus. Not only will the peace of God align the problems of life. Oh, but I love this. Our past sins align with our present state of forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, oh, don't you love this? He is a N-E-W, new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Don't you talk about Aaron McCullough. You know, you knew 20 years ago, 25 before I got saved, 30, however long it's been. Because he's dead. He died down at Bethel Chapel Baptist Church one Sunday night at an old-fashioned altar. God just killed him graveyard dead. But Lord, he raised a new one. Now I know some of you said, can we try the old one? No, you can't. Now listen. You got to understand that when God made me new, he only gave me half a brain. And he calls the angels around and said, look at that fool down there. Said, I only give him half a brain and he's trying to use it. Say amen, Bill Tatum. Amen. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far have he removed our transgressions from us. Sin caused our hinds feet to lose their ability to track with God. We were conceived in sin. Hello? We were born into sin. We have a sin nature. Sin separates us from God. We don't track God naturally. We have to learn to do it. We get out of tracking. We run all over the track. Somebody help me. We do that. It's our nature. You don't have to teach a baby how to sin. You don't even have to teach a baby how to lie. Did you know that? How many of you know that little babies, time they're 2 weeks old, will lie to you? They'll tell you a lie. Y'all think I'm crazy, don't you? I ain't crazy. I know what I'm talking about. They will lie to you. You don't have to teach them how to do it. How do they lie, preacher? Well, they'll have on a clean diaper, a dry diaper. They'll just be ate, they'll just be burnt, and you'll lay them down, and they'll go to crying like something's wrong, and you go in there, and nothing's wrong, and the little rascals just lied to you to get you in there. Help me, somebody. Amen. But the good news is this, is that while we were yet sinners, while we were tracking crazy, Christ died for us. He took upon himself our iniquity. He died that we may live. He came that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He came to align our past sins with a present state of forgiveness. And you talk about somebody that tracked. Jesus Christ tracked. When he said it was finished, honey, because he had tracked all the way through his life to that moment when the Lord let him go on that cross of Calvary to be our sin sacrifice. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." We are all beset with the propensity to sin. And I want y'all to know I have now exhausted my supply of big words. David, a man after God's own heart, had a propensity to sin, and he got out of track. He had an adulterous relationship. But you know what God did? When he cried out for forgiveness, God heard him, and God got him tracking again. Oh, y'all ain't never been there, have you? Samson, the deliverer of Israel, sin caused his life to get out of track. He went and touched the carcass of the dead animal, which a Nazarite wasn't supposed to do. He went lusting after strange women. You know what it cost him? Cost him his eyesight. Cost him humility. Wound up costing him his life. But before he died, the old boy got right with God. Amen. And God pulled him back in track right about the time he pulled the building down. Amen. You see, oh, y'all ain't getting this, are you? Because you see, he was the strongest man alive. Unless he was in track with God, he couldn't have pulled it down. Oh, amen. Little adulterous woman. Adultery caused her life to get out of track. Caused a bunch of men's life to get out of track too. You know what? I figured that thing out. All them men come see what was going on. You know why? Because they wanted to make sure she didn't tell on them. Somebody say amen. Now, Mark, you just turn your theological ears off on this one. Because this ain't theologically correct. But it sure does preach good. Amen. It could be theology. You can't prove me wrong. I can't prove it right, but you can't prove me wrong. Bible says there was a little woman taken in adultery. And they brought her to Jesus that they might tempt him. And you know what? Bible said that Jesus just started writing on the ground as though he heard them not. I don't know what he wrote. You don't know what he wrote. Bible doesn't tell us. But it just could be that the Lord said, "Joe, January the 5th, Ramada Inn, Jerusalem, you were with her. Fred, March 7th, Holiday Inn, Syria, you were with her." And all of a sudden they began to, "Ooh, I got to go. I got to go. I remember I got to go do something, fellas. And I'll see y'all later." And one by one, they went out. And when the Lord looked at her, he said, "Where are those thine accusers? Where are the ones that got you off track?" She said, "I don't have no accusers, Lord." And he said, "I ain't accusing you either. Oh, get back in track. Go and sin no more." That's what God will do. Oh, amen. Third thing. Now, not only does the peace of God align the problems of life and our past sins align with our present state of forgiveness, our priorities, number three, our priorities align with God's plan for our lives when we're tracking. Our priorities align with God's plan for our lives. A life that tracks for Jesus gives priority and planning to the proper things. Amen. I want to read for you tonight a little scene out of Alice in Wonderland. And in this scene, Alice is talking to the Cheshire Cat. Y'all remember the movie? Now listen to the encounter. Alice is lost and she's seeking her way. And she encounters the cat and she says, "Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here?" The cat replies, "That depends a great deal on where you want to go." "I don't care much," said Alice. The Cheshire Cat then replied, "Then it doesn't matter which way you go." Let me tell you something. If you don't have your priorities in order, if you're not tracking for Jesus, then it doesn't matter which way you go. Because any way you go, it's going to be the wrong way. But when you get your priorities right with God and you get your eyes on the cross, honey, you'll know which way to go. Because the way of the cross leads home. Oh, glory to God. Aren't you glad to know that? That one day at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my sin were rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. And honey, it's still the cross. Hallelujah. Whew, man, the point is this. In your personal life and the ministry of this church, you're going to face crossroads. And if you don't care where you go, then it doesn't matter which decision you make. But if you care where you go, you better make the right choices. And the right choice is Jesus Christ. And you young folks over here, I'm so glad y'all are here tonight. And hear this, preacher. It matters what choices you make. Can I get a witness from some of us old folks? Let me tell you something, you older folks. It matters what choices you make. Amen. When I was a little feller, and I know y'all have a hard time believing that I ever was, but I was. I used to be this tall. In fact, I was born this tall. I was this tall, weighed 150 pounds. I literally did. I had a boss that told me one time, said, boy, if you'll stand sideways and stick your tongue out, everybody will think you a zipper. That's skinny. But when I was a young fella, about 7, 8, 9 years old, 6, 7, 8, me and the boys I grew up with, we used to play a game. Now, they used to have the old chain gang back then, and I lived right over the hill from the convict camp on 27. And we'd see the chain gang out, so we started playing chain game. And they had an old ditch in their yard. Wasn't nothing wrong with the ditch. It was just a ditch. Nobody told us to work on the ditch. It was just a ditch. We decided we would play convict. So there'd be 4 or 5 of us in the ditch digging and one standing guard. I never did get to be the one that stood guard. I just had to be in the ditch digging. And we would dig relentlessly for hours on end. And we'd be sweating and perspiring and dirty. And folks would come by and say, what are you boys doing? And we'd proudly look at them and quote this. We'd say, we the workers by the workers. And I'm going to tell you something. Our work had no plan and no priority. We were just getting sweaty, hot, tired, and dirty, and accomplishing nothing. Now that don't sound like any Baptist churches, you know, does it? Oh, maybe the one across the street. Oh, no, that's Callaway, and they're here. We can't say that. Maybe the one down to West Point. Ain't nobody in West Point, is it? We get tired, hot, sweaty, and dirty, and accomplish nothing because our priorities aren't lining up. In World War II, Winston Churchill set and communicated the priorities of England. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to listen to somebody that had their act together. He said, we have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many, many long months of struggle and suffering. You ask, what is our policy? I will say, it is to wage war by sea, land, and air with all our might, with all our strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrous tyranny never surpassed in the dark, lamentable catalog of human crime. That is our policy. You ask, what is our aim? I answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival. Honey, you talk about a man that had his vision and his purpose. He knew what he was doing. And we need to learn from that. If I ask you tonight, what's the purpose of this church? You might tell me, well, to win souls to Jesus. That's everybody's purpose. I say, what is your purpose? Why do you exist? What is your passion, church? Amen. Jesus said it straight. He said, you got to love the Lord with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And let me put on there, don't sacrifice your own family on the altar of religion in the process either. And I'm not going to preach that. But let me get the point forward. Number three, one, the peace of God aligns the problems of life. Number two, our past sins align with our present state of forgiveness. Our priorities align with God's plan of our lives. And number four, when we're tracking for Jesus, when our feet are hinds feet for the Lord, our passion aligns with our chosen profession. Now let me tell you something. I cannot imagine me doing anything but preaching and ministering for Jesus. Why? Because that's what I'm passionate about. I love my father to death, but for about 30 years, he got up every day and went to a job he despised and hated. Simply because he said, I had a family to raise and I had the responsibility, and I commend that. But let me tell you something, honey, there ain't no way on God's green earth I can do that. I got to be plugged in to where God has called me to be plugged in and to get passionate about it. Now, I preached this to y'all yesterday, and I ain't going to re-preach it. But I'm just going to say what I've said last night and go on. If you're not doing what you're passionate about doing in this church, quit. Amen. Turn your resignation in tonight. Then find what you're passionate about and say, Mark, Kevin, this is it. Hook me up, boys. And you can have every job in this church except the pastor and the youth director and associate pastor. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Find where you're passionate. Number five, our purpose aligns our practice. Our purpose aligns what we're doing. Matthew 28:19 said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. As I go into church after church, sadly I see individual Christians and entire congregations who have forgotten their purpose. Our purpose is not to build monuments to ourselves. It's not to fill our pews merely with people. It's not to merely have our names in the headlines. Our purpose, as we negotiate the precarious crags of life, listen to me, I'm headed to the barn, is to model Jesus Christ in such a way, to live a life that so tracks for Jesus that people are drawn to him and lie are forever altered and changed because they have seen the good works of the Father who is in us. As I head to the barn, let me tell you three real quick stories. Do you remember in the Old Testament, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Or as E.V. Hill used to say, Shadrach, Meshach, and a bad Negro. The king told him, said, anytime you hear this music, you're going to fall down and worship these idols. And they said, ain't going to happen, king. Do what you want to do. It just ain't going to happen. You know why? Because them three boys was tracking for Jesus. They was tracking for Jesus. Now, I don't know this, and you can't disprove it, so just let it go. Don't the Bible say that they heated that fire seven times hotter than it had ever been heated? Amen. Didn't it say they was bound and that the guards took them up? Doesn't the Bible say that the fire was so hot that it killed those guards? Have you ever wondered then who threw them in? If the guards are dead, who threw them in? Oh, I got an Aaron version of it. This is the King Aaron version, not the King James. But the King Aaron reads something like this. Then when the guards fell out, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego might say, well, what are we going to do? I don't know. And all of a sudden, the man looked over in the fire and said, hey, y'all see what I see? Yeah. And the fourth man, whom they had been tracking, was already in the fire and said, come on, boys, it's all right. I got it covered. Woo! It won't be a problem. And shoot! Into the fire they went. tracking Jesus. Tracking Jesus. Putting my foot here, my foot there. A fiery furnace. There he is. Ah! That scared you, didn't it, David? You know what? When they come out the other side, and I believe it had a little rhythm. They might have been going, nah, 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 nah. Because they came out, and they was undone. The hair wasn't singed. Come up to them, and they didn't even smell like smoke. You know why? Because they was tracking Jesus. Amen. You remember four men that went to take a man to Jesus, had him on the gurney. They went up there and couldn't get in, so they just tore the roof off, threw him down. Why? Because they was tracking Jesus. You remember old Peter and John walking into the temple one day? Boy, I got a whole other sermon on that, but I ain't preaching it tonight. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. They looked at him and they said, we're just tracking Jesus here, son. We ain't got no silver, we ain't got no gold. Got something much better though. Such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Get up and walk. Woo! When he come up, he wasn't tracking Peter and John. He was tracking the Lord. He was tracking the Lord. When our lives are tracking for Jesus, listen to me, and I'm 2 seconds from closing. The peace of God aligns with the problems of our life. Our past sins align with our present state of forgiveness. Our priorities align with God's plan for our lives. Our passion aligns with our chosen profession. And our purpose aligns our practice. Church, Christian, as you travel your life's path for Christ, as you negotiate the precarious crags that are in your way, I have one question that I leave you with tonight as I go to my seat. Are you tracking for Jesus Christ?